My name is Plia Kettner and I love cats.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things without using an algorithm. Once again, not sitting in my apartment in Chicago, not sitting on Zoom, but instead I'm high above the city of Tel Aviv in Israel with Plia Kettner. Plia, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. It's great to meet you.
It's good to meet you. So I think technically we know each other from ROI.
Yeah.
What year did you go?
Oh, 2011.
Okay. That makes sense. So ROI, which people who listen to the podcast have heard of because Yvonne Marzouk was ROI, Esther Kustanowitz, Shai Korman, a lot of my Jewish friends around the world.
Great people.
Great people are in the ROI community. So you were asking, why do I come to Israel? It's to see friends from ROI and friends who have become like family. And so I'm just here on vacation, back for the first time since COVID, since Corona, and seeing friends, recording podcasts, and drinking coffee when I can find it.
When there is room service.
Yeah. Yeah. They also, at the front desk here, have bottles and bottles of liquor. And so last night I went and I said, could I have a whiskey? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh no, that's only for looks.
For looks. Okay.
For the beauty. And I'm like, but there's actual
fluids inside.
Put them in my body. They're like, you can have, like, there was kava, which is nice, but it's not whiskey.
No.
So
yeah. I think you should complain about it to the management of
of Brown Hotels.
Yeah.
Cause it used to, most of the Brown Hotels have like a bar or have room service.
I have room service. Oh, they said they will have room service start on 12th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So next, the day I leave.
Yeah. Like 12 at the noon.
Oh, at noon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Great. What is it that we talked a little bit about how you are in your municipal government,
mm-hmm.
Of Kfar Saba.
Kfar Saba, yeah. For the listeners, the meaning is Grandpa's Village.
Grandpa's Village?
Yes.
Aww. is Kfar Village and Saba.
Mm-hmm. And Saba, it's Grandpa.
Yeah.
But actually it's come from Arabic name, okay, of a village who were there before. So it's not really the meaning, but okay. Yeah. But today when you say the name of this city, mm-hmm. This is the meaning.
That's so funny. It's the suburb. It's the suburb of Tel Aviv.
Of Tel Aviv, yeah.
That I feel like all of my friends are moving to with children.
To Kfar Saba?
I think so.
It considered to be like more quiet cities than, yeah, Tel Aviv. And also Kfar Saba considered to be one of the best cities, like with education system.
Yeah.
So a lot of young parents, mm-hmm, they think about the education system for the children.
Yeah.
So they come to Kfar Saba, and it's actually, when we don't have traffic, it's like 20 minutes, mm-hmm, from Kfar Saba to Tel Aviv. So you're still very close to the center. Yeah. You can visit Tel Aviv anytime you want. And yeah, so a lot of people, when they start to have families, like, yeah, I think this is the area they go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been seeing, because I stay in Tel Aviv. I usually stay a little bit in Jerusalem, a little, mm-hmm, bit in Tel Aviv. And more, like, nobody's left in Jerusalem that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, three people are left. And in Tel Aviv, everybody's moving north.
Yeah, so. And also Tel Aviv, mm-hmm, became very expensive.
Right.
So, you know, when you consider what you can get for the same amount,
mm-hmm,
between Kfar Saba and Tel Aviv. Of course, in Kfar Saba, you will get more.
Yeah.
And it will be more comfortable.
Yeah, I guess on my next trip, I'll have to stay.
Yeah, in Kfar Saba.
Yeah, just to see people more.
Yeah, we have, you know, a lot of nice, like, culinary places. Mm-hmm. And when I have friends who come from abroad, I take them to see also the settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kfar Saba, it's like a border city, actually. We have a border with Qalqilya, which is the closest city from, like, in Palestine authority. And there are areas, like, I think that Kfar Saba, you can see a lot of special things.
Mm-hmm.
In this city, although it's considered to be a suburbs of Tel Aviv, because it deals with a lot of questions that the Israeli society deal with. And I mean, for example, in Israel, you can be buried, like, when you die, only in the Orthodox way, Orthodox Jewish way, I mean. And if you want to be buried in a secular way, you have graveyards in kibbutz that give this option. And the only cities that give this option is Kfar Saba.
Oh.
So for residents who live in Kfar Saba, they get it for free. If you come from out of Kfar Saba, you will have to pay.
Okay.
But there is this option. And the nice thing, and it's kind of funny to say that I'm taking my friends from abroad to see graveyards, but I show them the differences, you know. Those two graveyards are next to each other, the secular one and the Orthodox one.
Yeah.
And they can see, because it looks different, so they see the secular one and the Orthodox one, and then they learn about, like, the way in Israel, like, how we do things in Israel in this case. And the fact that Kfar Saba, considered to be a rich city, if we are eight, and we have a border with Qalqilya, and you can see from Kfar Saba how they live in Qalqilya, and to understand the conflict, and to understand how its effect on people in a lot of ways, you know, I'm talking about the simple people, not the the politician. And, you know, to talk with Palestinians, that sometimes they go through Kfar Saba from Palestine Authority to their work inside Israel, and to understand they, for example, need a special visa to work. Like, it's for them, it's like going abroad, okay?
Yeah.
When they come to work inside Israel. And sometimes, if you don't have a work here, you can get a visa for look for a job.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's the same as in the EU, between countries. You know that if you live in the EU, if you are a citizen, you can move from one country to another, but still you have to get a permission. It's easier, but you have to get a permission. So you can say, I want to come to, I don't know, to Spain, to Italy, to look for a job. And then you get, like, a permission to look for a job.
For,
so,
like, 90 days or whatever.
Yeah, forever they, for what they give. I don't remember the number of days, but it has a limit. So you, during staying in Kfar Saba, you can see a lot of, like, questions that the Israeli society deal with. And also Kfar Saba is surrounded by kibbutz and kibbutzim and moshavim in Hebrew, plural in like kibbutz in plural and moshav in plural. And we are a city. So again, you can see another thing that the Israeli society deal with, like different ways of living, to live in a city and to live in a moshav, to live in a kibbutz. Moshav and kibbutz are ideological ways to live. It's not just a village, like a abroad.
So
okay?
I knew kibbutz was ideological.
Yeah. And also moshav.
Okay. Yeah. I thought moshav was just a regular village, but it's not.
No. It's not. This is the thing that, like, it gives you you know, to think about ways to live, yeah. what you prefer. And like in the kibbutz, at least in the past, they shared more things. And mm-hmm. when I'm talking about share more things, it's like the children didn't live with the parents. Mm-hmm. They live in a children house. They sleep together. And there was like every adult used to walk in something in the inside the kibbutz. Yeah. So one of the adults was like a keeper for the children, kind of a guard. And, you know, another one, he walked in the fields, and another one walked with the cows, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera. And you didn't have anything that belonged to you, like personal things. Of course, you didn't have your property.
Right.
If you died, like, your children didn't get your mm-hmm. house. The house went back to the kibbutz, and they decided what to do with this. And in the moshav, they have things they share together. Okay. But they didn't share, like, a children house. Mm-hmm. And they didn't share, like, not everybody walked inside the moshav. Okay. You can have... your own business, you can walk okay. outside of the moshav, you can have your own property, mm-hmm. but there were things that still shared and so it's actually an ideological way to live. You had to decide what you prefer, or to live in the city where you have your own property, and like, let's say it's more like a capitalistic way of living.
Okay. So from Kfar from Kfar Saba, you can really see like all of the choices and opportunities and challenges of being in Israel.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, between religious and secular, mm-hmm. between social way of living and capitalist mm-hmm. Way of living, between Jewish and Arabs and Palestinian people. Really all the questions.
Wow. And have you always lived in Kfar Saba?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Kfar Saba. I had 2 years in Tel Aviv when I was a student. Mm-hmm. I used to study in Tel Aviv University. Mm-hmm. I lived in Florentine.
Okay, yeah.
Florentine neighborhood. It's like the neighborhood for students mm-hmm. and artists and things like that. I kind of had one year in Stockholm, Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because of COVID.
Right.
So I had a partner there, and I went going like forth, you know, between Israel mm-hmm. and Sweden. And because it was COVID and we didn't know every time when we will meet, mm-hmm. I went there, you know, for a long time, not just for a couple of days like it was before. And then I found myself stuck there.
Yeah. You said so, before we turned on the microphone, that you were the reason that your lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court mm-hmm. was the reason the skies reopened in Israel.
Yeah.
For citizens.
It was like we had four appeals for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. I will explain, because not every appealing is the same as the other one.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was actually because they closed the sky. Actually, they closed the sky all over the world. The EU closed mm-hmm. the sky, and for people who are not citizens, mm-hmm. and Israel closed the sky for people who are not citizens. And because I had a partner who is not a citizen, an Israeli citizen, mm-hmm. and I didn't have a EU passport. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't meet each other.
Right.
And therefore, I founded the campaign We Want to Meet Each Other.
Right.
In English, in Hebrew, it's Mishpachot Rotzot Leitached. You can look for this campaign during the web, wewanttomeet.com,
mm-hmm.
Because I explained there, like, what I did and like all the steps. And the thing was that like I started with the media. It was a campaign in the media, in social media. I gathered with me a huge number of Israelis who have or partners or family members abroad. And sometimes, you know, it's not just partners, because family members, it's a big word, big words. And sometimes there are like cases that you move abroad as an Israeli and you give birth there and your children are not considered to be citizens. And if you wanted, and we had cases like that, to come with your children to meet your parents.
Yeah.
So the children will meet their grandparents. The children couldn't enter to Israel. And I also gathered with me three wonderful women. Actually four, because the fourth one came later. But three of them had like personal story. And one of them, Ila, Ila Nachmani, she moved to Belgium because of her partner, who is Belgian, her husband. And she gave birth for the first time before COVID. So her daughter, she became an Israeli citizen. But then she gave birth right before we met. We met, by the way, I never met her
in person.
In person.
Right.
It was only during Zoom. The web. And she gave birth right before we met. So it was during COVID. And all the embassies and consuls around the world were closed too. So her son couldn't be an Israeli citizen.
Wow.
So when she, and also she breastfed him. And when she wanted he became very ill. And she had to come here to be with her father. But Israel told her, like the state told her, no, you cannot come with your son, even though he's a really small baby and you breastfeeding. So she told me I have to choose between my sick father and my really small baby.
Right.
So I had a lot of crazy stories like that. And after we made the campaign in the media, I talked with a member of the parliament. Now she's minister.
Okay.
Now she's a minister, environment minister, Tamar Zandberg. And she took care that we will have two meetings, like two discussions in the Corona committee in the parliament. And we got some, let's say, possibilities for like stories. For example, if you have a partner and he wants to move here in Israel and you already signed as registered as partners here, so he could enter to Israel. But cases like me and my, who were there, my partner, we didn't register here as a couple because we never thought he will move to live in Israel. For him, you know, he had his job. In Sweden, he was after 50, after 55 even. And in this age, to move to another country, that the language is not like, you know, it's not like moving from Sweden to Italy. I mean, there is, or between Sweden and Germany, you know, that the Swedish is very similar to German. There are some, so in his age, to move here, to learn Hebrew, to find a job. And also, he was divorced with two children. One of them was a minor in shared custody. I mean, there are cases, there are cases that you cannot match the criteria of Israel. And I told them, there is a problem. You was okay with give us some options, but a lot of couples are like us. Like, you think automatically that everybody wants to move to Israel.
Right.
But it's not right to everybody. Then I understood that there is no choice. I must go to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to go to the Supreme Court cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I did two things. One was to speak with somebody who is now a member of the parliament, mm-hmm. but she wasn't a
at
mother
the time.
Of the... Yeah,
yeah.
She was a lawyer, Gabi Lasky.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I will do it for really low price.
Great.
She was really great with us. And because she understood the situation, and Gabi, she's very, like, I really like this woman. She's
yeah.
very, she understands emotions.
Mm.
Okay. And she's very sensitive
mm-hmm.
to, like, human rights and things like this. So I raised money.
Mm-hmm.
From people at the same situation or people who just support the idea.
Yeah.
And we went to the Supreme Court. We won.
Wonderful.
Now it wasn't like, it wasn't a winning, like, you know, the judge say,
yeah.
And then he uses a hammer. And
uh-huh.
It wasn't like this.
It wasn't like, and go to Sweden, bring him here.
Yeah,
yeah.
It wasn't like this, because when we entered to the court,
mm-hmm.
Attorney,
mm-hmm.
not attorney. No, they are not attorneys. Like the lawyers of the state,
prosecutor,
prosecutor. I'm not
defender?
Sure. I'm not. Yes, they were defenders. Actually, I don't know. Like the exact
attorneys.
The exact.
Yeah,
the attorneys.
Yeah.
So they said, like the first sentence was, "We admit,
mm-hmm.
the state did something awful to those people."
Wow.
So we agree to work with your side,
mm-hmm.
like with our lawyer, and to discuss about new cases, like new options for other
okay.
cases we didn't think about.
Okay.
And after that, Gabi worked with them, and
mm-hmm.
together we decided about, like, other options.
Okay.
So that was the first time. That
and you
I
went four
appealed.
Times.
Yeah, four times.
Oof.
The second time was, as I told you, I went to visit my
mm-hmm.
partner there, and Israel closed the sky also for citizens.
Right.
So I couldn't come back. The thing is that I had to come back. Like, I had a flight
mm-hmm.
less than 24 hours after they closed the sky. I mean, it was the closest flight to Israel. So I
yeah.
didn't, I couldn't find another flight earlier
right.
to come before they closed the
yeah.
sky. So I found myself there in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
and Israelis can be in the EU 90 days every half year, and
mm-hmm.
my 90 days was over after another week, like a week
mm-hmm.
after they closed the sky, my 90 days were over, so I was not legal
yeah.
in Sweden. It was very scary. I was afraid from every cop in the street. I was afraid that something
so
will
scary.
Happen to me with insurance, you know,
mm-hmm.
all those stuff. And then I appealed to the Supreme Court from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, I met this this lawyer, like I think during... I don't remember how I met her, actually, when I think about it.
The time
it.
Of Corona is so mushy. It's so hard
yes.
to remember.
And
yeah.
Batya,
mm-hmm.
she was the lawyer who made like this appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And with another lawyer, Tal, and it was like two appealings, but we did it on the same thing, so they put it
yeah.
together. And the lawyers, the judges were so like very direct in
mm-hmm.
their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the state of Israel hurt the agreement between a citizen and a state.
Mm.
So now they learn it the law faculty in the Hebrew University.
Mm-hmm. It's a big statement.
Yeah, it's a big statement.
Because
a big statement.
Can future cases, I don't know how it works here, right? But can, if the US Supreme Court said there are tacit agreements between citizens and their country, and that the country cannot violate those agreements, mm-hmm. then it would be case of people saying this hurts citizens.
In the U.S. I can't see how it's possible that something like this happen.
Closing
the sky for citizens. It's not something, and I don't think it will happen again in Israel after this appealing. But the nice thing was that
it is also very, there are two international airports here, right? There's just Tel Aviv and Eilat, right?
Yes, there is also a small one in the north. But the main one.
So there's the theory of closing the skies, and then there's actually. There's only three airports, so it is easier logistically.
Close. Yes, but we have a border with Egypt and mm-hmm. with Jordan, so they also closed those
the physical
because people
crossings.
Go to Sinai and people go to visit Jordan, so they closed also the borders, mm-hmm. the land
borders too.
And the funny/nice thing during this appealing mm-hmm. was that I met so many nice people.
Yeah.
And we started to walk together. And together we founded the lobby mm-hmm. for the open sky of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the other appealings, I wasn't signed for them. Mm-hmm. But every one of us had other position. Mm-hmm. In the group, so we thought we want to open Israel for tourists now.
Yeah.
And also I had my personal interest in this because my Swedish partner, he has children mm-hmm. and I wanted them to come.
Of course.
So they couldn't come as family members because we are not married.
Mm-hmm.
They could only come as tourists.
Yeah.
So I had an interest in that. Yeah. So each one of us has something he did, one we decided the right thing is to find business people
mm-hmm.
to sign on this appealing and to show that this Israel decision hurt them, hurt mm-hmm. their business. So one found the people, one raised the money,
uh-huh.
one made the lobby, one of us and we appealed twice mm-hmm. and the funny thing was that those two appealings didn't get to the court because after we sent the appealing,
mm-hmm.
The state said, okay, we opened it.
They saw your name and they're like, okay.
Yeah, because I think the reason was that they didn't want
uh-huh.
another statement of the judges again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And so one of the reasons I'm here today is because of you?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Not just me.
Not
it was
just
a big group of the lobby.
Yeah.
But
it was. It was, I watched so many friends with first degree family, and they would go to the consulate and they would get an apostille and the proof. And every week the mm-hmm. proof changed, and it was everybody was like, will it happen? Won't it happen? Is it? And friends kept asking me, when are you coming? And I'm like, you are like family to me. You're dear friends, but there was no legal way for me to visit.
Yeah, you had to have the sky to be open, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good. It is very nice to be back.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I don't just bring people on to grill them about their Supreme Court appeals.
Yeah, of course. I know.
But it's so interesting. What were the... it is fascinating.
Also after that, mm-hmm. they open... I gathered with me Israeli mm-hmm. people with the same interest, partners abroad. And some of the people who came too were the partners themselves from abroad, mm-hmm. During the net.
Yeah.
And then one of them from Belgium, she told me, we want to make the same in Europe. We want to open the EU borders. Can you explain us what to do?
Oh, wow.
And then they founded the campaign Love is Not Tourism.
Uh-huh.
If you heard about, I don't know.
I didn't.
It was in Europe, it was a big thing. They were several people from different countries inside the EU. Also, I don't think they met each other for like for real.
Right.
I think that all the work together were like during the net or something. And also they have a website, loveisnottourism.com or .org, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And they made like wonderful, wonderful campaign. Wow. Like it's something to learn about, I think, when you study how to manage campaign in different countries at the same time.
Yeah.
That has the same goal.
Wow. I will, I'll link to it in the show notes. I will. Yeah. Love is not tourism.
Yeah, yeah. They are wonderful people.
Wow.
And we were like all the people from all around the world who made campaigns like this.
Yeah.
Even from Indonesia, even from Australia. Wow. We were in touch. Like we found each other and we, like we had our, you know, own group of the managers of the campaign. So
that's amazing.
It was like a big thing.
Yeah. All I did was sit at home and start a podcast.
Well, I think to start a podcast, it's another great idea to use your time in during COVID.
There was so much time.
Mm-hmm.
There was so, you know, it was 10 hours a week of the commute.
Yeah.
Plus nights out, right? Like no social life.
No, no, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was really awful.
And so after, it was really like after 6 weeks of TV, and I was like, this is not ending.
Oh my God.
It's not ending. So then I started a podcast where I asked people.
But could you go outside?
You could go outside.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like here.
Mm-hmm.
But my work was closed. We worked from home.
From home. Okay.
But they turned off our badges. Like no going to the office. No access.
Mm.
Restaurants were takeout only. Takeaway only. Yeah. So restaurants and bars were closed.
But could you sit, I don't know, in a park?
You could sit in a park.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago has 20 miles of beaches.
Yeah.
The beaches were closed.
Oh.
They closed the beach.
You couldn't go to
the beach. You couldn't go to the beach. Which doesn't make, now we know that's dumb. That
yeah,
the beach
of course,
was safe.
Of course.
The outside was safe. They didn't do baseball. Like baseball was closed for the summer for like little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Playgrounds were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Greens were open. Like parks were open, but playgrounds were closed because of like touching.
Ah. Yeah,
when we
remember
thought, like,
they saw that if you touch something. Uh-huh,
yeah. So I live across the street from a park with a baseball field.
Yeah.
And the baseball field has, it's called a dugout, which is where the team sits waiting for their turn. So I met my friends in the dugout. Like, just come and meet me in the baseball field because there was a bench. And so we would bring our food, would bring our drinks, and would sit in a baseball field.
Oh, but it's so much better than what we had in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. That what you could go outside for, you could go like 100 meters or something from your house.
Yeah.
And
100 meters. Yeah. I was, I can't say that I was alone. I was with Ananas, my cat.
Mm-hmm.
But he will be very angry if he will know that I said I was alone.
Right.
While being with him. You know, he has opinions. And he speaks a lot.
Yeah.
So actually, I just had conversations with Ananas.
Yeah. Yeah. I
between four walls.
my building, there's six apartments.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a fire pit. We did have a yard.
Mm-hmm.
So we would make a fire in the yard, sit outside all winter in the snow outside with a fire. But like no inside friends.
Yeah.
It wasn't safe.
So you didn't invite friends to your home, for example?
No.
Just outside. Oh, so in the winter it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we would, we made it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you do like ice skating? Go.
You could.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people
but
could.
I love snow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous of you that you have snow.
No, we have snow. We had for Hanukkah, my Hanukkah party in 2021, so December 21, was right before, it was between like Delta and Omicron, maybe.
Okay. Right, I don't remember versions. Yeah.
It was a lull. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of, we all had vaccines, but like there was this new thing coming.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't know if the vaccine is enough. Mm-hmm.
So we did two fires in the yard and cider, hot drinks, latkes in the yard. So we cooked inside, we brought it outside, and then...
Ah, okay.
That was like 50 people.
That's really
just
nice.
In the yard with fire. So that was like that was super nice. So, and then it was another wave and blah.
it was really awful. Yeah. I agree.
But Plia, what is one of your favorite things that's not Corona?
Oh, no. The Corona was awful. And as much as I really proud of what I did during COVID, I think it was an awful time. Yes. I have no love for Corona. And believe me, I would be very happy if I didn't have to do what I did. But I thought about what I love, like, you know, before we met, because... You explain me what is the podcast about. And I love cats.
Cats. Wonderful. Do you have?
Yes, I have my Ananas. Mm-hmm. And Ananas, he's a cat. He's a redhead cat. Mm-hmm. Very, like, you know, he's a very spicy cat. And he's a very talkable cat. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of opinions, and he will tell you all of them. And I met him because when I was young, right after my army service, I still lived with my parents, and there were some cats, you know, under the buildings. Mm-hmm. There was a cat there who gave birth and then her daughter gave a birth, and it was for Ananas and the other tastes because the mother, we named her Pizza. And those cats, there was the chairman of the board of the building, and his wife, she loved them, so she used to cook for them. I mean, they were kind of a street cat or community cats, but they ate, like, believe me, you don't eat well like that. Because they had, like, private chef, okay?
Amazing.
And I remember when Pizza, she was pregnant, you know, it was a lot of years ago. Ananas, he's now over 15.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think we had like the knowledge like today, you know, to take care that cats will not
keep giving birth. Yeah.
And I actually, as a very, very young woman, I just waited for her to give birth because like I wanted to see the kittens. And she gave birth in the shelter of the building.
Yeah.
But then she took the kittens and she moved them to like a yard of a private house, so I couldn't enter them. And one day I went out and I saw her, I saw Pizza, and she's kind of called me, like she yelled.
She meowed and...
She meowed. And I wasn't sure if I understand it right. I started to walk after her, and all the time she looked back like to see, to be sure that I'm coming. Still coming.
She's like, where?
Come on. Yeah. And then she meowed again. And then I went after her, and she took me to a bush. And she stood in front of the bush and she meowed. And then three kittens came out. And then I saw... I don't know if to say, you know, sometimes we give animals Like we give them human
emotions.
Yeah. So I cannot say for sure, but it looks like she's angry, mm-hmm. and she entered inside the bush and she took with her mouth like another kitten who didn't want to come out, uh-huh. and she put him in front of me, uh-huh. and it was Ananas.
Okay.
He didn't want to come out. But in that moment, like, we became just best friends, mm-hmm. me and Ananas. And when I left my parents' home, I took them with me, mm-hmm. Pizza and Ananas.
Yeah.
Ananas, he was such a naughty cat, really. I always say about Ananas that he wants to destroy the world, mm-hmm. and he start with home. Like he does all the training. So he ruined everything he could ruin at home, uh-huh. like the toilet paper. I couldn't leave toilet paper, like, uh-huh. you know, in places that he can reach, and he could reach everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And back then I was a student, and, you know, I used to study in the university, but then I had to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So like my study started on 8 in the morning, mm-hmm. and I finished, I don't know, at 2, at 3. And then I went to work till midnight. So, you know, it was a long day. So I had to make food for this long day, because you cannot buy every time, you know, when you are a student, especially. No. So I made food.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to wake up really early, like before 6 in mm-hmm. the morning, to make the food, put it in the bag, and then, you know, to dress, to brush my teeth, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I wanted to take my bag with me, and mm-hmm. I discovered that somebody was too smart well, let's say that my food kind of disappeared. So really he tried to ruin everything, mm-hmm. and one day I was with my ex-partner, we like in Florentine, mm-hmm. in this apartment, and one day I looked for like to the window, and I told him, you should see that. There is a cat outside, and he looks exactly like Ananas. He's like his twin. And then I like thought another moment, and I'm like, oh my God, it is Ananas. I don't know how you found a way to go out. And like I wanted really to shout on him and mm-hmm. to yell, and I was really angry on him because mm-hmm. he always ruined things, and he ruined my clothes, and he ruined my shoes. And I remember that day I was really angry, and I wanted to shout on him, mm-hmm. and then like our eyes match, uh-huh. and I understood that I just can't be angry with him. Like I'm too in love mm-hmm. with this cat. And like since then,
mm-hmm.
we are like twins.
Yeah.
And like we have our routine at home, mm-hmm. and he hates every man I date with. He doesn't want other men at home.
Mm-hmm.
He accept my father. He accept my brother.
Okay.
Two friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
That's it.
Like
yeah.
all the other human males,
mm-hmm.
they are not allowed. Like he doesn't like them. He is the only man.
My cat Spidey was the same.
Yeah,
he hated any man that would come over. Very mm-hmm. few got attention. And I was a waitress, and there was Mama Cat who mm-hmm. nobody could ever catch, and then her kittens born mm-hmm. on the patio every year. So this is 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And so every waitress, every waiter, everybody in the kitchen, just everybody had one of Mama Cat's kittens.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Spidey, who his litter was orangey, peachy, mm-hmm. and blacky.
Mm.
And he was peachy because he was the light orange.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught him, and he stole bread. He would steal challah, rolls,
oh my God.
Loaves of bread. I moved out of an apartment once, and I moved my bed,
mm-hmm.
and I found rolls and slices of bread like everything I wondered where it had gone to.
So he and Ananase went to the same school.
They went to the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would steal. So, I mean, he this summer, I said goodbye, but till his last day, stealing chicken bones, chicken, perfect, everything.
So he lived like the real cat, mm-hmm, life.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
You know, because cats, they are like, they are the real royalty of, mm-hmm, of the world.
Yeah.
And we are actually just slaves.
Yeah.
We should pet them. We should feed them.
Pet them when they want.
Pet them when they want. Yeah, yeah. I forgot this. Yeah. I think, you know, but if we are talking for seriously,
yeah,
I think it's a very special animal, because on one hand they are very independent, mm-hmm, and on the other hand, they really, I really do believe they love their humans.
Mm-hmm.
There is this Netflix movie now.
The Secret Lives of Cats,
or like the
lion in
the
your
mind,
house,
the mind of cats, and really, it's a special animal.
Yeah,
they are really smart. They know how to manipulate. Mm-hmm. And when I say manipulate, you know, usually people use this word to talk about bad things, but mm-hmm, we manipulate people during our life all the time. Yeah. Like when you want to get something and not have an argument,
right?
Like you do it in a nice,
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
When you smile to somebody, mm-hmm, when it's also a manipulation, and they know how to manipulate to get what they,
absolutely,
want without having an argument, without, mm-hmm, so like they are cute and they come to you, mm-hmm, and like, oh, they are so,
I'm
you
so
can
hungry.
Just, yeah, yeah.
I can't go on.
They make, yeah, you melt. Mm-hmm. So they do it in a very smart, mm-hmm, way. And the fact that they meowing to us, because between themselves,
they don't meow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They meow like because they understood that it's like a baby sound.
Yeah.
And people cannot
ignore,
you know, ignore, yeah, it. Yeah.
Because, yeah, so, I have another cat. So I have Cowboy.
Cowboy.
Oh. So Cowboy came to me when he was 2 from a coworker who, mm-hmm, was not a cat person.
Oh, so how did she get it?
So he never eats human food, like doesn't, mm, like no interest, because he was raised with people who wouldn't, which is fine. Like it's okay to eat a pizza and not have a cat, you know, in my,
yeah,
mouth eating,
yeah,
my food.
Yeah, that's nice.
But he also like didn't meow.
Oh, he's and quiet.
He's quiet. But now that in the last 2 years of Spidey's life, Cowboy was like, oh, I have to learn how to talk.
Yeah.
Because he won't be here forever. Like he can't talk for me forever. And since Spidey has passed away, Cowboy is meowing and,
oh,
his, has a whole new personality.
Wow.
Because,
but you see, he learned.
He learned.
I mean, they have the, uh-huh, ability to learn.
Yeah.
And they can understand, okay, if I want to connect with, mm-hmm, this woman, I must to make some noises,
uh-huh,
like a baby.
Yeah.
So she will give me some,
mm-hmm, extra treats,
yeah,
and scritches and,
yeah, yeah,
cuddles. Yeah, it's really, I thought he was just standoffish and quiet, and he's like, nope, he's a lover. But,
yeah,
he also, like, Spidey was number one. So now he's number one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe he enjoys it a little bit.
I think
you
so.
You know, to be number one. Mm-hmm. One. Yeah.
Because I considered getting kittens,
mm-hmm,
getting like 2 babies.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he will accept them?
I don't know, but then he's just so nice as a solo cat that I want him to have time.
Yeah, yeah. This is why I didn't get,
yeah,
like new kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ananas, Pizza, she passed away in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananas took it really hard.
Oh, I can't imagine.
He actually cried for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that when Pizza, she goes out from the door, she also come back mm-hmm. from this the same door. You know, when I took her to the vet or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he just sat in front of the door and cried for 3 months. It was awful. Like, I have videos of it. It's awful. And this is another thing that it shows you that they get mm-hmm. attached with other animals. And like Pizza, she was very important for mm-hmm. him. And now Ananas, he's over 15. So like, I don't want him to fight about territory.
Yeah.
Now, and he's like the king of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Although in his mind, he was always number one. once I bought a kitten.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think to keep him, but mm-hmm. I saved him from, like, after he had a car accident.
Oh.
So I thought after he will get better, I will find him a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for a long time, no one asked for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, maybe I will keep him.
Yeah.
But then Ananas actually tried to kill him.
Oh no.
Yeah. Ananas. He swore him to, like, to the water bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, maybe it's not a good idea, and maybe like Ananas is not a cat who likes to have small brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found him a great family for this kitten. Now his name is Oliver.
Aww.
I understood that maybe Ananas is better to be you know, alone, and he's a great friend.
Yeah.
They always show love, mm-hmm. And they understand when you have a shitty day,
mm-hmm.
And when you are sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they are fur,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of a level that make you very calm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now it's okay.
Like, yeah.
As the way we are.
Yeah. I think so with Cowboy, too. It's just, mm-hmm. it's nice. I miss him, you know, being here.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Who's taking care of
him? I have 3 friends. Because it was a holiday this weekend,
uh-huh.
normally I'll have someone stay the whole time because I want someone in the house with him.
Oh, okay.
Not just doing meals, but like company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
like a cat sitting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my friend Jasmine will get there on, I guess, today. She'll get there today and stay with him for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But before it was my upstairs neighbor, Ezra. He was in charge of food, and my friend Jocelyn was in charge of company.
Mm-hmm.
So she would just come and just like watch TV
mm-hmm.
and be with him.
Because
I don't like to, you know, he's like not super social, but just becoming more of a people cat.
Yeah, that.
I didn't want to leave him alone.
It's good that there is somebody.
Yeah.
There that he can have interaction.
Yeah.
With somebody.
Yeah. I mean, when the cats were younger, and you could just be like, here's all your food. See you in a week. But that's only if cats don't eat all the food on day one.
Yeah, with Ananas it will not work.
No.
You will just finish everything on the first moment it's on his plate. Yeah. So.
Do you have any, is there a cat rescue in Kfar Saba or?
Yes, mm-hmm. There is a NGO.
Yeah.
Actually, it's like a shared with Ranana. Mm-hmm. It named the Kfar Saba and Ranana Love Animals.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big place actually for cats.
Mm.
And the city municipal council try to help them. I must say that in Israel we have like a big problem with cats.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cats in the street. And on one hand, I understand that it's very not comfortable for people, but on the other hand, there are a lot of people who tried to hurt them. One of the things we are trying to do now, like the people who love cats, is to change the way people see those cats. In the past, we used to call them street cats. Now we change it to community cats. There are some laws about, like, you cannot transfer cats from one place to another because cats are very territorial, animals. And actually, it's like to send them to the death if you transfer them to other place. And about like people who feed cats, you know, there are also some laws like you can, it's legal. It's important that people will know it's legal to feed cats in Israel. But there are some rules like it's supposed to be dry food and not wet one. It's supposed to be in some distance from like a building. But like don't give them like bones or things like this. So there is a lot of work around this subject. With cats. And also people must understand that to keep cats from giving birth. Like they are not humans. It's not like they have the wish to become parents. For their safety, actually, it's better to take care that they will not breed. This is the best way to have less cats.
There's programs in Chicago like spay neuter catch or catch and release. So they catch them, take care of them, and then they'll like notch their ear. So you don't catch them again.
Also in Israel. We have it.
And then try, and then they do like feral cat communities where they teach people how to like build outdoor shelters for the winter. Especially in Chicago where there is snow and
Yes, of course. But you know, also here we have it and like people build kind of shelters from they take cartons and make it and then they put nylon on it so the rain will not ruin it. But there are some mean people who come and ruin these things. And they should think like if it would happen to him, to them, you know, to live outside in the rain, in the cold winter.
Well, thank you for coming to talk about cats with me this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Do you want, is there anything you want to promote or do you want people to follow you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Plia Ketner. And you can look for my campaign on Facebook. It's We Want to Meet Each Other. Or Mishpachot Rotzot Leitached. And the website is wewanttomeet.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.